Welcome to the second episode of Insight One from Solaris Therapeutics, a deep tech startup in the intersection of machine learning and life sciences. My name is Oskar Hoff. I'm the head of medicinal chemistry here at Solaris, and I'll guide you through today's episode. The podcast is called Insight One, and it contains 7 episodes, and it should show you an insight into Solaris Therapeutics. Today I have 2 guests, Hossein Fouladi, our CSO, and Noah Weber, our CTO here at Solaris Therapeutics, as my guests. Together, we'll talk about AI and the role AI plays in our company. Hossein, I want to start with you. Looking at your CV, you were honored by the Iranian Ministry of Science and Research as an exceptional talent after being ranked in the top 0.1 percentile in the national licensing exams. That's pretty impressive. You have worked at the Cambridge Systems Biology Center as a machine learning researcher in drug discovery, before joining a Cambridge-based in silico drug discovery startup. And earlier this year, in 2021, you joined Solaris Therapeutics. After that impressive and quite deep journey, I'm keen to hearing the answer on a simple question. What does Solaris do differently?
Thank you so much for the introduction. Indeed, I have much experience in AI-driven drug discovery, but I think that mainly showed me how much open space there still is. I think Solaris Therapeutics does a few things differently. First of all, I think it's about the modality of the drugs. Currently, only about 10 to 20% of all pathogenic protein in the human proteasome are considered to be druggable. But the other 80 to 90% is therefore called undruggable. And they are related to incurable diseases, for example, such as, I think, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and various types of cancer. So instead of inhibiting functional site of protein, here in Solaris Therapeutics, we are trying to exploit natural cell-based mechanism to degrade protein. That gives us the potential to degrade pathogenic protein that are related to currently incurable diseases. I think the second big difference is working on graph and three-dimensional representation for the molecule, for the protein, or for the macromolecule, for example, DNA, RNA, something like that. So we have seen the flourishing of graph neural network from started from 2-3 years ago, for example, by pioneering work about graph convolutional network, graph attention network. But in recent years, we are observing and we are seeing the power of this network for real-world application. And we are leveraging that power for predicting some molecular property, for example, solubility, something like that, and the interaction between different molecules, different protein, different macromolecules, and so on. And I think the third thing is that we are working on domain of targeted protein degradation, which contains very sparse or little data. As a result, I think it's impossible to use very huge and big neural network and traditional supervised learning method for prediction. So we leverage the information from that very sparse data. And this is where we are trying to apply something like active learning or Bayesian optimization that can work with a small or little data. We have also the intention to entangle this active learning loop with our wet lab experiment and establish a hybrid approach that uses the full potential of these machine learning tools with wet lab data. I think that's it. These are the points that makes differentiated Solaris from other AI-based drug company.
Thank you very much, Hossein. That was a very nice and comprehensive overview. Coming to you now, Noah, you're in charge of processes here at Solaris, but having a quick overview of your background, you graduated in applied mathematics and data science from TU Wien, the Technical University of Vienna. You became one of only a few Kaggle Grandmasters, if I understand this correctly. That's a global platform for data science competitions. And already have much experience in machine learning research, machine learning engineering, and machine learning operations. From your perspective, what do you see is the main differentiator of Solaris Therapeutics to other existing solutions out there?
Thanks, Oskar, for the nice introduction. I think Hossein already gave a pretty comprehensive answer from a technological or research point of view. One of the answers that initial co-founders Christoph and Jakob have posed and what we have established to be truth is that actually the question of Peter Thiel's, what's the heretical view do you have? Meaning, what's something that you believe that most of people don't believe in? And what we and them initially came to realization is that The targeted protein degradation technology has been around for a couple of decades, but there are some huge problems with this technology, meaning it's hard to do it in a lab. There is not really much that active research going on. Obviously, it's changing in the last couple of years and people are realizing the potential, but they realized all of this is super slow. And very importantly, none of the other in silico drug discovery companies are even doing this. And I mean, this is strange, given that this technology, the degrader technology, is so disruptive, and Nobel Prizes are very likely going into the hands of initial investigators of this biotechnology. Hence, for us, it was a no-brainer to automate it with machine learning. But of course, hindsight is 2020. And, you know, pair this insight with our research, engineering, chemical and biological departments, and you get Cellares Therapeutics.
Thanks, Noah. That's very nice. Yeah, I think the Nobel Prize, that's an interesting call, right? They're coming out right now. As we're recording this, the chemistry Nobel Prize was just awarded. Yeah, it's quite exciting. We'll see how long it takes until the degraders will get there. I think I share your opinion that that's coming up soon. Hossein, what do you think? What technologies might be worth watching in the upcoming 10 years when it comes to AI?
So I think there are two approaches that are currently trendy. One approach is reduces inductive bias in the network and feeds the vast amount of data to very high capacity network. For example, we have seen the flourishing of transformer, and transformer are very prevalent choice these days for high capacity network. We are seeing usage of transformer in natural language processing. Also in recent years, we are seeing usage of transformer, for example, for processing protein sequence data. And I can say that the rationale behind this is by seeing the huge amount of data, the network itself will learn the right inductive bias. And also, for example, we have seen something like AutoML in this category, in which we try to even learn the structure and building block of the network itself, not just the function. But on the other hand, there are some people that are arguing against this approach. They argue that even when we are feeding tons of data to the network, you cannot answer why questions. And fundamentally, for answering why questions, you need something beyond data. You cannot answer why questions just by looking at the data. We are hearing the term causality machine learning frequently these days. And the goal is to enable the system to answer questions related not just to observation, but also answer questions related to intervention. By intervention, I mean answer question in a word or distribution that is completely different from the current word or current distribution. And answering this question require having information about the underlying causal structure that is a priori to the data. So me, myself, I'm more or less towards a hybrid approach that leverages the power of both sides. And I think these hybrid approaches are the approaches that are going to shine in the last couple of years.
Agreed. Awesome. Thanks, Hossein. What do you think, Noah? I mean, deep learning, AI, those are all big words out there. But currently, there are a few breakthroughs in biotechnology in combination with AI, such as AlphaFold, for example. What do you think are the lessons we should be learning from there?
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of breakthroughs, but at the same time, a lot of hype. And the real question becomes, what's really out there making a difference and changing humanity for the better? And I think AlphaFold, and especially people and companies like us, can actually realize the impact that they are making with the AlphaFold solution. But now taking exactly the AlphaFold or the AlphaFold 2 solution, or even the other one that came just recently, the AlphaFold Multimer, where they try to make predictions of multi-chain protein complexes instead of single chain, what AlphaFold did. And this is very important, multi-chain. The AlphaFold model was explicitly trained for the multi-chain in order to predict these highly complex protein structures. All of this is very important for the life sciences, but what's really interesting is to extract major lessons that they had in building these architectures and attacking these biological problems. Is that, I mean, obviously there are a multitude of this, but one of them that we can definitely extract is the marginal benefits of hard coding domain knowledge into the features in the data. Why did they did it? Because obviously DeepMind researchers are primarily computer scientists. They had their expertise there, but they didn't want to embed too much domain knowledge into the networks. What they rather did is they said, you know what? We have a lot of computing power. We can build huge networks and feed it enough data. We can let the system learn the problem end to end. So what was the problem with AlphaFold? It was problem of protein folding, right? So you have the 2D structure, you want to learn the 3D structure of it. And basically, building a system end to end allows it to learn all the features and the domain knowledge on its own, right? And this is a very important lesson, because if we have all the requisites or the prerequisites in place, like huge architectures, enough data, enough computing power, we can let the automatic feature learner, meaning the deep neural networks, learn the necessary nuances and complexities that we didn't even know existed. Because after all, had we even knew what are these nuances and complexities, we could have solved the protein folding problem even without deep learning. That's where the real value and one of the real lessons that we can take from AlphaFold becomes.
Yeah, I see. Okay, coming back to you, Hossein, and also coming back to Solaris, to us as a company, the research part of your group, could you talk a little bit more about what you're doing there and how you steer research projects in a successful direction?
Yes, sure, Scar. I think as I stated before, one of our main challenges for applying these machine learning tools in the targeted protein degradation domain is the sparsity of the data. There is very little data, for example, about the crystallized structure of the ternary complex, or very, very sparse data about the physiochemical property of this heterofunctional degrader. So as a result, one of our main focus is developing an active learning framework to gain the most information from this very little data. For example, we have tried to apply our active learning and Bayesian optimization framework for ternary complex prediction. And the other thing that we are working on is how we can leverage and use the symmetry available in our data. By data, I mean compounds, protein, macromolecules, and design a network that respects that particular symmetry. We put a more inductive bias on the network, and by inductive bias, I mean designing the network that respects to symmetry or invariance in our data, in protein, something like that. And we can learn something even in a small data regime by putting more inductive bias, because by putting more inductive bias, we can learn function with less amount of data. And we are trying to leverage that fact. This is where we are using something like graph neural network, which are by design permutation invariant or permutation equivariant, or geodesic convolution in 3D point cloud, or recently published, for example, work, for example, EGNN, E3NN. These are all the network that respect to the symmetry of the molecule. And we are trying to leverage that fact and design some network that uses this valuable information.
Super interesting. Let's go back to Noah. I mentioned before that you're in charge of processes and operations here at Solaris. In that sense, that being said, how is the research part integrated into production level systems and eventually to the customer? So how do we approach that?
Yeah, I mean, the way we like to think about it and what we try to avoid from the beginning is Solaris is, you know, pose a problem and let 20 computer scientists just solve it and try to solve it. That's a pretty naive approach. And what we rather try to tackle is how can we, given the different requirements that we have in different departments, even though it's super a flat hierarchy, but people with different expertise should make sure that coming from a research or engineering part or computational chemistry or biology, they all should be deeply intertwined and trying to collaborate with each other. Now, of course, this is a standard abstract word, collaborate with each other. We need to streamline this and make sure that this is actually happening. And as this is happening, the output of this collaboration is basically making sure that all the requirements from these different disciplines are encoded into the data so that we can, after the data and the requirements from chemistry, physics, biology is there, we can then make sure that we test scale and bring the end software to our customers. And as we have discovered, separating, you know, different disciplines could be actually a huge mistake. Hence, we approached the problem as follows. We said, we want to start with a problem, meaning starting with the research part and allowing our researchers to define what we need to work on. And then we focus on the usefulness after that for the customer. So as the researchers are developing the solution, we are coordinating with the chemistry, biology, physics teams, making sure that all of the requirements or the edge cases that come from these disciplines are also encoded in the data and in our machine learning solution. And then at the end of the day, we are preserving all of these chemical and biological requirements. And that happens in conjunction with other teams. So to put it long story short, the way that it happens is that we make sure that requirements not only from the engineering side of view, where we need to make testable, reusable code with the best standards, but also the life sciences and their requirements are encoded in our process as we streamline it.
I can personally attest to that myself, that being confronted with code and machine learning is interesting to me. But yeah, it definitely takes me out of my comfort zone to leave chemistry and start coding. But it's definitely fascinating. Coming back to you, Hossein, and the future of Solaris in terms of research, what do you have in mind in that regard? What's your vision and what will be our major focus?
Yes, these days, I think biologists, chemists and people with a strong domain knowledge are mostly working in targeted protein degradation domain. And I can say that they have done a great job and achieved some fantastic results. For example, we are seeing some degrader in clinical trials. But I think the whole process is amenable to more rational design and less try and error. So here in Solaris Therapeutic, we will develop some tools that can make this process faster and less error prone. I think we will be able to create some tools that can help chemists design novel PROTACs or molecular glue or other degrader quickly and in a more rational way.
And we will take these tools to create degraders against currently uncurable diseases. Thanks, guys, for having today's session. The next episode will be a general introduction to degraders, so we'll understand and learn the biological principles behind it better. Dear listeners, thanks for giving us your time and enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye. Thank you.